B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
And welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Wednesday, April 24th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. Want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, on this week's social media question, we ask you what game you've spent the most amount of money on in terms of microtrans. And we'll read some of your answers. We'll share some of our own deep, dark secrets. That's coming up today here on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today with a very special interview. Last week, we got to sit down with Chris Hopper. He's the head of esports for Riot Games and was nice enough to give us some of his time.
Joining us now is Chris Hopper. He's the head of esports for Riot Games. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. Glad to be here.
So we have to start with the Spring Split LCS Finals. They were one of the best viewed North American matches of all time. To what do you attribute that?
You know, it was a bunch of different things. I mean, it's impossible to not start with the two teams. I mean, between the showdown between Bjergsen and Double Lift for, you know, the title of one of the greatest players of all time in North America, arguably greatest, well, some of the greatest players in League of Legends of all time. You know, the storylines within the teams, you had Jensen going for his first title. You had, you know, CoreJJ coming back into the scene. You know, you just had these great storylines kind of all around. You had TSM building the new roster around Bjergsen with all these guys that were hungry for their first shots at titles. There were just so many interesting and really compelling dynamics that no matter, you know, whether you came into the scene 6 years ago with Bjergsen and Doublelift, or you just came into the scene this year and, you know, you're a fan of guys like Broken Blade, there was someone for everybody in this series, and everyone stepped up at a different point in time. Broken Blade's performance on Vlad in game one was one for the ages. I mean, that guy was down so much early to carry so hard late was just, you know, an incredible performance out of a rookie.
If you could actually talk about Broken Blade for just a moment, because, I mean, the guy comes over from, I believe, the Turkish League. And literally lights the scene on fire, playing out of his mind all split long for Team Solo Mid. Can you just talk about him for a moment and how good he's been?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I've really specifically loved about him is, you know, in addition to all of the things that make him a really compelling pro, you know, super friendly guy, outgoing, loves the fans, supportive of his teammates. You know, it shows the opportunity that can be created in the North American League for really promising, you know, players who want to step up and find, you know, that next greater level of challenge. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to go and say, if we want to, you know, bring in a talented imported player, we have to go to Korea. Like, the truth is that there's talented import players in a lot of other regions. You know, we had Levi from Vietnam who was proving this for a little while. And so for Broken Blade to be a representative of what can be found in a lot of these other regions globally, I think it's really important for League of Legends, because I think it shows that this isn't just going to be a sport dominated by a couple countries and a couple regional leagues. This is a sport where you have to monitor all of the regions. You have to monitor all of those leagues, because you never know when you're going to find a diamond like this kid, you know, and he has truly played like that. He went toe-to-toe with the best that NA had to offer all split, and he never backed down. You know, his performances against Licorice, against Impact, against these other guys was really compelling, and especially for a guy with no experience in the North American League before, he just came in with no fear.
Yeah.
And it's been really fun to watch, because, you know, when you get a guy who's not only, you know, willing to play, you know, and go toe-to-toe with carry players like Viper on his Riven, but to go toe-to-toe against tanks and go toe-to-toe against veterans, like, who's going to try and stop this kid?
Yeah, and so I just want to shift gears now, but Team Liquid has been the team to beat for the better part of the split, as good as TSM was. Do you define, you know, that split? Like, what makes them so good, as I wanted to ask? What makes Team Liquid so good. They've won three splits in a row.
When Team Liquid came together last year, I remember thinking, like, okay, this is a team that could do some work. You know, you're starting to put together some talent in the right spots. You know, you're putting together a talented support with Double Lift, and you know, you're putting some good pieces around the map. And you know, they performed incredibly well last year, and then basically in the offseason they just got better. You know, by upgrading, you know, with bringing in core and just like kind of upgrading the roster. And you know, I think Double Lift is incredibly focused right now, and I think when your veteran leader has that level of focus, but also has a level of trust in his teammates that his work is now elevating his team. I think as opposed to before, when he might not have had as much trust in his teammates, it might have been a limitation on a team's performance. And so right now, you know, he trusts his teammates, and you can see that he believes in, you know, guys like Xsmithy or Jensen or Core, because he knows what these guys are capable of doing. And so he trusts their ability to perform, and he can focus on his own play. And I also think the fact that he doesn't have to shot call anymore allows him to really focus on his fine micro. And you've seen that pay off in a lot of the really close team fights that he's been able to take this year.
So talking about the LCS in general, I mean, last year marked the end of relegation, the beginning of franchising. How are you and maybe, you know, how is Riot Games feeling about that transition to the franchise model?
You know, we would do it again 10 times out of 10. I think it's been a great thing for the league. I think it's been a great thing for players. I think it's something that will be a great thing for fans, but I think what we're doing now is laying the groundwork for that to pay off for them. But when you look at things like some of the sponsorships that teams have been able to announce, you know, Cloud9 with BMW, Honda with Team Liquid, some of these really marquee sponsorships that are coming in, these weren't really possible in a world with promotion relegation because the sponsors themselves weren't super comfortable with the idea of investing heavily into a team or an individual player who might be gone in 3 months. You know, there was no assurance that even the best teams were going to stick around. And so by creating that assurance, by creating that safety, we've created an environment in which sponsors are now comfortable putting that money into these teams, and they're seeing that reward. They're able to, you know, invest more deeply. And also on our side, we're able to design experiences and products that are going to be more long lasting. You know, when you look at the LCS jerseys, this is an effort on our side to say, okay, we know what the teams are. We know who the brands are that are going to be in this league, and we can start to really build out consistent structures, consistent fan experiences, you know, new digital experiences that enhance the team fandom. And we can really kind of invest in that long-term future with the security of knowing kind of who the players are and who's going to be working with us.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. Right now, we're talking to Chris Hopper, head of esports for Riot Games. Now, worldwide, League of Legends continues to be probably the most successful esport in terms of engagement and level of competition. What makes the league continue to be so strong in the space, and where do you guys see it in the future?
You know, I think the reason that the esport is still so successful is because the game is still so successful. You know, like at its core, League of Legends is a fun game. I mean, I've been playing for, you know, 9.5 years now or something, and it's probably still the game I play most on a month-to-month basis. You know, there's other games that'll come out, you know, Apex Legends, you know, Blackout, you know, I'll play some of that, but I and, you know, millions of other people around the world come back to League at the end of the day. And so I think that stickiness, that sort of longevity that the game has, creates a natural kind of stickiness to the esport because there is already such an entrenched fan base. And I think the fact that we continue to evolve the esport, we continue to grow the experience with new content, new methods of presentation, you know, and just new kind of overall consumption offerings for the fans is really a compelling narrative. And it says to them that we're continuing to invest in the scene. It's a game that you already love. There's teams and there's players here that you've now been following for years. I mean, for some of these guys, you know, depending on when you came into esports, you know, I've been following Bjergsen and Turtle and some of these guys for 8 or 9 years now. You know, that in some cases, that's a longer and stronger affiliation than they might have with any other traditional sport. And so I think what we're seeing now is this opportunity space where the cohort of people who have been or currently are esport fans continues to grow. And as the product continues to become more attractive and we find more ways to allow easy engagement with it, you're going to see more of that cohort continue to stick around in some fashion or another.
So we've got MSI now on the horizon, and traditionally speaking, that's international tournaments are never the most fun time of the year for North America. No, we generally don't. Is there any reason to have hope if you're a North America fan going to MSI this year?
Yes. there's definitely hope. SKT is obviously going to come in as the tournament favorite.
Yeah.
But I would be surprised if anybody comes in as a favorite over SKT after what they did to Griffin in the final. And so there's always a chance. And I think what's really compelling is that we're now at a point where, you know, the Team Liquids or, you know, the G2s of the world only need a chance to be able to beat like the SKTs or the IGs of the world. And we saw this in Worlds last year. We saw this when no Korean team made it to even the semifinals, despite how talented some of those Korean teams were. You know, these guys only need a window and they're now good enough that they can capitalize on it. And so when you look at a roster that's as stacked as Team Liquids is, especially with guys on there, you know, Impact has won a world championship before. Core JJ has won a world championship before. Like, they have the veteran talent that knows what it takes to get it done at the highest levels. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to say that NA fans should have a reason to be excited going in there, because this is probably the best team we've ever put out on an international stage. It has the most international experience within its roster of any team that we've ever put out. And I think the gap between the regions has closed more than it had, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. So, you know, I'm going to be cheering for my North American teams throughout. You know, I really think that it's going to be a really compelling tournament.
And lastly, with the sale of Clutch Gaming to the Philadelphia 76ers, we're going to see the return of Dignitas to the LCS. Can you speak to the importance of such a legacy brand and team like Dignitas returning to the LCS?
Sure. So the one thing I do have to emphasize here is that no sale is final until it's approved by the league, and the any transaction regarding Clutch with any other kind of corporation, including the Dignitas org, hasn't been approved yet. No reason to say that it wouldn't be if it was hypothetically put across our plate. But I just want to clarify for legal purposes that we have not yet kind of approved a deal like that. If in a world where that is presented and we are hypothetically looking at that, you know, I think the Dignitas organization has a lot to bring to the table there. You know, obviously they're an org that has been, you know, around for years, has always been really loyal to their fans, has a pretty strong kind of allegiance among their fan base, still performing well in other esports. And when you look at the inclusion of, you know, the ownership from the 76ers with the Harris Blitzer Sports Entertainment Group, there's a lot of really compelling resources that they can open up for their team in terms of training, in terms of giving them access to other sports to learn kind of different competitive methods from, you know, and there's a really compelling leadership group there that I think could also bring a lot of value in working with the league on a variety of different strategic kind of plans that we're looking to put forward. So Dignitas and the org behind it is, you know, a really interesting group. Obviously, we've been in touch with them for a long time, and as they've continued to refine and build on their esports experiences. And I think they would be an organization that every fan should be excited to see come back into the LCS.
Chris Hopper, head of esports for Riot Games, has been our guest here today. Chris, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you, guys. This was a lot of fun.
Thanks again to Chris for his time. You can follow him on Twitter at Riot Chopper. And for a full archive of interviews, visit our website over at CheckpointXP.com. Listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll welcome in Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic, to share your responses to this week's social media question. This week, we ask you to admit what game you've spent the most money on in microtransactions. Stick around. We'll air our dirty laundry as well as check out your responses ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Hey, Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at checkpointxp.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at checkpointxp.com. You can also follow us over on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can respond to this week's social media question. This week, we ask you guys what game you've spent the most money on in microtransactions.
I don't like this question.
And I know. I feel personally attacked by this.
I feel like you guys were mad irresponsible.
Yes. That is the absolute correct answer to that. So, because it's only fair if we ask you to air your dirty laundry, that we return in kind. So, Norris, you seem fairly confident here. So why don't we start with you? Why don't you tell us what game you have spent the most on in microtransactions, and how much was it?
All right. Well, I really regret to say this, but unfortunately, it is FIFA.
Oh,
just throughout the years, I'm
I believe
put
that.
I could see it. Yep. It is FIFA.
I could see it. So did you total it up?
I did.
Okay. Where are we at? What's the damage?
$85.
Oh,
that's not bad at all.
That's incredibly reasonable.
Is really negligible.
Here's the problem. I looked at my PlayStation library.
Uh-oh.
And I said, oh no, because that was well into the four figures.
Mm. Four figures?
On PlayStation games?
Just games.
Wow. Oh, just games.
Okay,
yeah,
games are different. I think games is different.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so I'll go next. So I knew it was one of two games, and I wasn't sure which until I went back and started looking at numbers. It was either Pokemon Go or League of Legends. It was going to be one of the two, and I was relatively certain that it was going to be
League.
Well, I thought it was going to be Pokemon Go.
Really?
Which should tell you what my relationship with Pokemon Go was like. So that one totaled out to a little over $600.
For which?
Pokemon Go.
For Pokemon Go.
Oh, wow. Dude.
Thinking, I'm like, all right, I probably don't need to check League of Legends. Wrong. I did need to check League of Legends because that was significantly worse.
No.
So League of Legends.
Well, you've been playing League longer.
Yeah, since 2011, something like that. So yeah, I've been playing for a long time. But that one's a little over $900, $936.
But over the span of 8 years, though,
that's not bad.
It's not terrible.
$600 though on Pokemon Go
in two years, that's a bit ridiculous.
And
that's considering that I went to Pokemon Go Fest and got like a year's worth of stuff like subsidized.
That's right.
I got $100 worth of Pokecoins.
Wow.
Oh my god.
I totaled up my Pokemon Go purchases because I knew that one was going to be the worst. And no, I didn't get the Pokemon Go Fest free stuff that you guys got. I spent just a hair over $700 on Pokemon Go.
Yeah.
That is spicy.
When you look back on it, you're like, I guess I really needed those Ultra Balls, huh?
All right, you plebs. I'm going to make all of you feel better, even you, Joe.
Oh.
I actually didn't do it specifically like game by game, but more like by developer. Going back to 2010... whether it was World of Warcraft, Hearthstone, or Overwatch, all combined, I'm looking at $1,394.44.
Oh,
I mean, but that's over almost 10 years, though.
Yeah,
we're talking about $100 a year. That's not that bad.
I also played both Final Fantasy Record Keeper and Pokemon Go. another
$1,143. Oh, no!
Clocking in at a total of $2,537.44.
Is Cheshire Duck listening to this segment?
No.
Wow, you.
That's about, going back to 2010, that's about $317 a year.
You get the Golden Microtransaction Award. I don't know what that looks like.
You wouldn't be allowed anywhere near a debit card.
Yet, all my loans and stuff are still paid off, except for one.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening on 97.5 FM and 1280 AM, The Zone in Salt Lake City, as well as ESPN Kenai, 1140 in Alaska. We're currently going through our social media question, asking you guys how, you know, which game you've spent the most money on in terms of microtransactions. We just went through our own. Before we get to your responses, though, we've got to kick it over to Voice of the People, Sarah Skopic. Sarah, what game have you spent the most money on in terms of microtransactions?
So this is a hard question because I am stingy.
She is so frugal.
Yeah. So frugal. Like, you have no idea. When I play Pokemon Go, I've maybe paid, like, at most $10 on the entire game.
She got legitimately angry at the idea of spending $10 because, like, we're walking around Great Lakes Crossing playing and she can't do anything. I'm like, just spend $10. Like, no.
I won't do it. But I'm in trouble. I'm in real deep trouble. So this is going to be some future math. So for those of you who don't know, I play visual novels. And I have been introduced to a visual novel through on my phone that I was told was very good. Here's the problem. You have to spend money to get coins to unlock all the CGs for each route. So
wait a minute. You turn your nose up at the idea of spending money on being able to play longer Pokemon Go, but this is okay?
It's still, I don't know, it's story, man. But here's the problem. I've spent maybe, I did at one point, I think, spend like $40 just to get some
Sarah.
Base coins. I know.
Wow.
Here's the problem. I'm only halfway through a route. I'm almost done with my coins, and there are 6 routes total.
That's going to be like $300 to get through that story.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens.
Yikes. All right, well, let's take a look at our social media responses and see what you guys were saying on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Over on Facebook, we have Tyler, who says, possibly Magic the Gathering Arena. I've spent roughly $400 since launch on draft, sealed,
it
and
just
packs.
Launched.
It just came out.
Come on.
No, you got to pump those numbers up, Tyler.
What? Wow.
Alan says, NHL 19, $600 so far this year, buying EA points to rip packs.
It's the same thing as FIFA.
I'm sorry,
is it really?
But hockey?
But explain to me what the appeal is. Is it just cosmetics? Like,
no, it is, you need to do it to get good players.
It's pay to win, and it's worse.
That's terrible.
We have David, who says, I think I spent close to $200 on Overwatch loot boxes during the first year of the game. Kind of frustrating looking back at it, since those skins are so easily obtainable now during the next year's event.
Does that about track with what you were spending, Robbie?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
No, well, per event, it's 50 if I don't play at all. That'll get you everything.
Yikes.
We have Kevin, who says, Final Fantasy 15, A New Empire. I probably spent about $1,000 to $2,000 on it.
What? I don't feel so bad.
Are you kidding me?
$1,000 to $2,000 on A New Empire?
He says he's got to catch up with his guildmates in game.
No.
He had to keep the Empire from getting attacked.
No. That is horrible.
Over on Twitter, we have George, who says it would probably be $30 on Apex Legends, since it was being free to play and worth at least this amount to have sold the game.
Listen, if that's your worst, like the purchase you feel guilty about, like, you're doing great.
Have you
not listened to the rest of us? Because
some guy just spent $2,000 on a Final Fantasy 15 mobile ripoff.
I dropped $200 not on Pokemon Go, but Pokemon Shuffle, which is way worse.
I can't believe you did that. We have Stank Buddha, who says, I spent over $500 on crap and Marvel Heroes for PC.
Oh,
I remember that game.
That's rough.
That's not good.
Yikes.
That is not good.
All right, one more.
Over on Instagram, we have McTrademark, who says, Clash of Clans, over $500.
Yikes.
It's in a very competitive group, and I sucked. Never again.
Yikes.
Okay.
That's painful. Rough.
That's depressing.
That is real depressing. Now that we're all sad, it's time to go away. Listen, we're gonna have to leave the discussion right there, but make sure you follow us over on Facebook and Twitter. That's Checkpoint XP and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram, so that you can get in on next week's social media question. That's gonna do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopik over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pulled double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.